So who is this Jeff Roney anyway?
Well, that's me. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, a pastor, or a priest. I'm just a Christian guy with a radio TV degree that has lots of questions.
What is a Roney Zone?
Okay, a Roney Zone is a place where we ask real people tough questions, and then we get real answers. The place where we get beyond the who, the what, the where, the when, and get to the why. The why is always the most interesting part.
What is Roney Zone Radio?
Well, now that's the question. Roney Zone Radio is a show that allows people to tell their stories. A show that allows us to look at any subject from many sides. Roney Zone Radio is a place where we have fun, we talk, we listen, and we help each other walk this road of life. I think what's cool about this show and about living is the minute you think you have everything figured out, you meet somebody that has learned something that you haven't learned or that you need to learn. So this is a great way to talk and listen and learn.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm doing it. Roney Zone Radio, a very, 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 very different podcast. Radio. Welcome everyone to Roney Zone Radio episode 22. I wanted to just let you know that the website hits are up. The average is around 239, which is fantastic. On our way up to 1,000. So any type of letting your friends know, your family know about this show is certainly appreciated, and I thank you. Episode 21, there was a bit of editing this last week. I just wanted to make sure that a couple of points that I didn't think were clear were more clear. The episode that is up now on iTunes and on the website is the final version, so if you haven't downloaded it, you can now. If you have before, there's just a little bit of difference, but not too much. I want to talk a little bit about Pat Robertson. See, Pat Robertson is like the guy on your baseball team who says a lot of goofy stuff, and you don't know really who brought him on the team. And a lot of times you really wish that he played golf or something. And Pat Robertson should just do a lot more thinking instead of talking. And just the more things he says, I don't even care why he really says what he says. It's interpreted wrong. And I wish he'd just keep his mouth shut and feed the poor, or, I don't know, do something else. I also want to have some good news. I want to talk about some feedback. I got a fantastic email from a gentleman named David Bocian, B-O-C-I-A-N. And I just want to thank David for taking the time not only to listen to the show, but actually get engaged with the show and really feel something about the show, to the point where he sat down and he wrote a fairly specific email through the first five or so episodes. And again, David, thank you so much for that. That's the phone. So I'm going to answer the phone. Hold on. Hello? Telemarketers. Well, sorry about that, David. My telemarketers interrupted my explanation of your email. But anyway, I just want to read some excerpts and give you kind of a taste of what this email was about, and I will post it on the website. So it'll give you another reason to go to the website and check out the show notes on this. Okay. Hi there. I just started listening to Roney Zone Radio, and I wanted to send you a quick email. I learned about your show via Nathan Butler's StarWarsFanWorks.com site. I admit I didn't have too many expectations going in. Your first show, though, caught my attention. As a fan of both Star Trek and Star Wars, I'm always interested in hearing others' opinions of them both. Knowing your involvement in the Star Wars fan community, I was afraid the show was going to turn into a Star Wars pep rally rather than more of a serious comparison between the two. You and your guests surprised me. And it continues on talking about the other show, and what I thought was interesting, as he goes through each show, he offers some constructive criticism, which I've read and have accepted in, and I'm making those changes as we go forward. But he also really went through each show, and as he read the title or read about it, he kind of had an idea of, well, it's probably going to be this. And he kept saying over and over, you surprise me, you surprise me, you surprise me. And I'm glad. That is really the goal of this show, is to get you to think. And I'm not trying to trick anybody, but it's just you think it's going to go in one direction, and actually I take you in another and show you a side that maybe you never have thought about. So, he liked the interview, but he did notice that the noise was too loud. I heartily agree. But it was a great time, though. He had a lot of things to say about the Greg Monk Desert Storm Veteran Show about the Iraq War. I welcome those thoughts. And at that point, I wanted to interview someone who had been there, and I let Greg's opinions be that. In the future, I may do a point, counterpoint, maybe closer towards the next election, maybe even before that. Anyway, I wanted to read kind of the end section as well. So I'm quoting here from his email. And that's as far as I've gotten in listening to your show. All in all, I really enjoy it, despite the rant I went on regarding the liberals and Iraq. And I just wanted to share my feelings with you. Thanks for putting yourself and your show out there like that. I look forward to many more episodes to come. David Boshin. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name correct. Thank you so much. And now, I put the word out to the rest of the listeners. If you are listening to me and you have the capabilities of typing an email, email me about the show, please. When you do a show like this that is very controversial, on the edge, that is not the norm, response like this really helps you go forward. If I was doing a vanilla, easy show that just kind of copies the main populist feeling about something, I wouldn't need any email because I know that I'm just reflecting everyone's thought process. I'm different. I want to cover things different. I want to say things that maybe most people have never heard of or wouldn't think about. Please email me. Please email me. I should do a whole show just please email me. Say it over and over until you just get sick of it. But good. I want to learn the good things about the show, bad things, things you don't care about, whatever. Please let me know. Okay, enough about that. Thanks again, David. Now, today's show, we're going to be discussing, again, U2. We're going to have part two of our discussion. We're going to talk about the effects of American evangelicals on Christian bands. We're going to talk about the answer to the question, what is a Christian band? We're going to talk about if I worship Bono or not. We're also going to discuss, or I'm going to talk about, my struggle with my inner Pharisee. That's me. Very interesting as we go forward. And is the message from a Christian leader, entertainer, or person more important than their lifestyle? So we really look at whether the message is more important or the person's lifestyle and what we should be looking at. So again, buckle up, and here we go. Welcome to Roni's Own Radio Spotlight. Last episode, we dealt with procrastination, how to deal with procrastination, and how to set goals, and how to track goals. But this episode, we're going to actually kind of focus in a little closer. Goals are what we're shooting for. They're kind of more off in the distance in a way. But we're going to talk about day-to-day, things we need to do today. And those to help us keep focus are the age-old list. Now, don't shut it off now. Wait, just stay with me. Virginia, lists are good. They're good. Lists help us stay focused on day-to-day activities, things that are more important that we have to take care of. What I run into all the time is distraction, especially in 2005 with the internet, cell phones, DVR, all these different things. There's so many things that can get us distracted away from what we need to do. So, let's revisit the list, okay? Now, however you are, and whatever you like, there are some choices as far as a list. If you're old school, you may be old school. You can use the old sticky notes. You know, it's funny that computers actually, in a lot of offices, become this electronic sticky note holder. I think that's just fairly ridiculous that people actually use something that is as powerful as a computer with the internet just to hold a bunch of sticky notes, and they can't remember anything without the sticky note. But some people enjoy sticky notes to kind of quickly do a little short list and take care of a couple of different tasks. So if you like sticky notes and you can have a handle on those, great, perfect. Others use a pad of paper or a notebook, and that's fine too. Some people use a journal or notebook or something like that that they can hold in their hand and can kind of check quickly for what they have to do next or what they need to take care of next. It's really handy for different type of meetings or anything. And you can also use a journal, calendar, that kind of a thing. Which brings us to our next old school way of staying focused with a list is the Franklin Covey notebook system. Now, this is pretty widespread. They have little things that you can write next to different tasks that you need to do once you've completed them or you have more to do, so that if you don't have one job or one task done one day, you can carry it forward to the next day. And you kind of keep a little notation of if it's done or how much more there is to do. So, Franklin Covey, another option. Now, if you're new school, if you like electronic stuff doesn't get in your way, but it actually helps you stay focused on list and get things done. Franklin Covey, strangely enough, they have a software that you can use in your PDA, that kind of a thing. Or you can use, if you don't have many PDAs, but you are around your computer a lot, you can use a task list in Microsoft Outlook. And it can give you your little My Today page, and you can check for the tasks that need to be done. This is very useful if you're in a job where you're in a cube, like Office Space and all this kind of stuff. Microsoft Office does have those type of little ticklers, they call, that pop up and can remind you of different tasks that you're doing. You can also use a notepad in your cell phone. There's one of the guys that I work with, that's what he does. He uses a cell phone notepad for different lists and tasks lists that he uses every day. You can also use, if you have a BlackBerry, and you can sync that up with your Microsoft Outlook, and then those will be included into your calendar. So BlackBerry you can use if you have one with work maybe, and you can keep track of your task that way. If you don't have any of those things, maybe you have a home PC or something, and maybe you're on the job, you can use airset.com. That's AIRSET.com. This is a website that you can sign up for and set little reminders on certain days, and it will send reminders to your cell phone. Now, keep in mind that there probably is a charge for text messaging or different messaging sent to your cell phone. So check that out first before you get into airset.com. But maybe if you want to try it a couple of different times and see if it works for you, see if you like it. The bottom line, lists are good. They help you stay focused on what you need to do today. And you can also, don't sweat it too much, but hey, if you didn't get a task done that you needed to get done today and it wasn't time critical, move it forward on your list or on your calendar, journal, or whatever you use. Just continue to work on that. But lists are good. Thank you very much. And now we continue our discussion. You too, Inside and Out. Adam at that point was not interested in the Bible or God.
That's where Gloria comes from.
Okay, atta girl. She's okay. Coming back. She's probably looking on the internet right now.
Yes,
okay,
I am.
Now, October was U2's second album. Mm-hmm. Now, if Boy really represented being a boy, newness, starting out, that kind of a thing, October was a full stance that they wanted to express their feelings about God and about being a Christian. Originally, the lyrics for October were, I believe they were stolen. I don't know if you guys knew this.
I think the book mentioned that, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, they were recovered this year.
And returned
to Bono.
Interesting.
This very year.
Yes. And the question was, well, are you going to record them? He says, no. He says, that was then, this is now. We've already done it. I don't want to go back and do it again, you know.
Wow.
So, pretty interesting. But they wrote October in a very short amount of time. And it's very interesting to note that because there are so many spiritual themes, outright spiritual themes. And so many people, you sit down, especially when I was in college, and U2's not a Christian band. No, they're smoking and drinking and, oh, they're cussing and all this kind of stuff. You listen to this album, and it is a full stance for God. It talks about how when Bono's mother died, that he was going to meet her in heaven, and he's going to be there, and all this kind of stuff. And he said, you know, Lord, I'm coming. And it was a very, very religious Christian album. So when they get to America for that one, the evangelicals hear about this band, this Christian band. Okay?
Oh.
So the evangelicals, they have an agenda. And yes, I am one of the evangelicals. As a box, that's where I am in. But the evangelicals have this agenda that you have to walk a certain way, talk a certain way, look a certain way, sing certain songs. Otherwise, you're not in their group anymore. And so when the band got into America, they began to watch television. And they saw what Steve Stockman calls the face of Christianity. What did they see, Colleen?
Well, how can I put this nicely? They saw the televangelists and their shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's as nice as I can put it.
And do you remember how that made them feel, Kim?
Grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
In a nutshell.
They wanted no part of it.
Absolutely none.
And at the beginning, they were very free. I remember reading in the book that those early interviews, he was very open about God and about Jesus and about the Bible and all this. But the more he saw America and their charlatanism of religion, they backed off and they wanted no part of it.
Well, I think what it was that they didn't want to be associated as Christians with those televangelists. That's not what Christianity should be. Mm-hmm. There are some who are not that way, but unfortunately, and I know around the time period they were talking about, it was the height of ridiculousness for televangelists.
It was prior to the fall of Jim and Tammy, so there's probably, well, there was a lot of misuse of, anyway, yeah.
There was definitely some inappropriateness that was happening that...
Well, a lot of over-the-top antics.
Well, that too.
Yeah, okay.
That too. Definitely, yeah, they didn't want to be a part of that, and not because of anything to do with how they feel or felt about God at that time. It was very definitely, they did not want to associate anybody to associate them with that.
True. Right, right.
And honestly, I can't say that I blame them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, their faith wasn't something to be showed or played out. It was something to be lived out.
Kim, when a band says they're a Christian band, what is the effect of the evangelical group on them?
I would say it's probably they have to have this kind of straighten up and fly right kind of attitude. They have to look a certain way. They have to sound a certain way. And if there is any question as to the expression that's shown in, then it's out. There's really not much room for, in a nice way to say it, artistic type of bend for certain avenues. Do you know what I mean? As questions or anything like that. It has to be very clear and cannot in any way form any doubt.
There's a pressure and there is a format that the evangelicals put on rock bands. What I like about Bono is that he's real. He is not perfect. And I want to say this right now. I should have said it from the beginning. I don't worship Bono. Bono's not my God. U2 isn't my God. I don't live to their standard. I don't worship them. They're not going to get me into heaven. Do I like them? Yes.
Absolutely.
The book pointed out a very interesting fact is during the 80s, the Edge went through a divorce, sadly enough. But that wasn't in the papers. And I think the papers knew that these guys were just the real deal. And I think the world doesn't like religious leaders or religious singers or bands or whatever because they feel this elitist attitude. I'm sorry to say, I see it too.
Mm-hmm. And not just in bands, but mm-hmm. even in individuals.
Sure.
People can walk around and feel like just by being in somebody's presence, you're being told that what you're doing is wrong, or how you're acting, or what you believe is wrong, just because it's different.
I'm telling you this too, is I've seen people that purport to be Christian, and see, I'm falling in the same trap. You hear it? They purport to be Christian, and I watch them and I say, I can't wait till you mess up. That's what I say, and it's wrong, and I'm admitting it right now. It is wrong. I should not be that way, and I'm trying not to be, and I'm trying to change that all.
And, I mean, just to go back to the Christian entertainment industry just for mm-hmm. a moment, not to say that it's not important for somebody who's professing to be Christian and is an artist not to take seriously the fact that they are a role model.
True.
And that you're out there and you're in the world and you're saying, you know, your life, your lyrics maybe are saying that you're a Christian and that Christ saves all. So still keep in mind the fact that we as listeners, mm-hmm. we need to still remember the fact that whatever anybody professes to say, they're still human.
You're absolutely right.
I agree too.
Okay. There is a role model factor.
I think you hit on it though, right there. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
Nope.
But why is everyone focusing so much attention on these artists,
mm-hmm.
these entertainers, these evangelists, these preachers, these people? I'm going to say that again. These people.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings, Homo sapiens, people. Flawed vessels.
Right.
Why is it that everyone has to focus on that? No, we can't look at what they're actually speaking. God will use anything and anyone to get his message across.
Mm-hmm.
And if he,
a Christian band means what, Kim? What does that mean?
A Christian band, I guess for me, would be one who goes around and is not afraid of singing about Christ, but are bringing him, incorporating their belief into their lyrics, and maybe have kind of a worship aspect into some of the choruses that they have, or would cause you to at least think about, you know, the God that they're singing about. That's what I think of when I think of a Christian band.
Okay. Colleen, is there such a thing as a band that has a Christian in it?
Oh, absolutely.
That is not a Christian band.
Shocking as that may seem, yes. And okay. As it's ridiculous to think otherwise. Christian people, it comes back to that evangelical dictate. If you're a Christian, you have to be in a Christian band. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessarily true. Now, do I think that a Christian would probably find themselves in, like, say, for example, gangsta rap? Or Marilyn Manson, perhaps, or a band that's going to promote evil or even just really bad choices? I don't think so.
Well, okay.
But it's not unheard of for a band that doesn't have necessarily any kind of an agenda. Maroon 5. Maroon 5 does not seem to have any kind of an agenda other than they just play good music, they write good songs, mm-hmm. they, you know, they're very talented, they're gifted. Could one of them be a Christian? Sure, I don't see why not.
Well, I'm going to talk about probably one of the most beleaguered bands and probably one of the most attacked bands there ever was. Creed, okay?
I almost brought them up.
Nobody, I think three people on this planet like Creed. The rest of the people, some of them like them, but they sure love to say they hate Creed. I actually like Creed. I'm one of the three. Every time they were asked if they're a Christian band, no, we're not. And yet you listen to the lyrics of some of the songs, and I'm like, they got to have some kind of change in their heart. Man, there's something. And finally, there was an interview, I think in 2003 or 4, and the interviewer asked Scott Stapp, are you a Christian? He goes, yes. And she says, well, wait a minute, all these people ask you all these times if you're a Christian band. He goes, we weren't a Christian band, but yes, I'm a Christian. Now, I mean, he's not a perfect guy, and it kind of gets back to what we were saying.
Right.
But, see, therein is the issue,
right.
Is that you can be a Christian, but you can be in a band that's not a Christian band. It's okay. And see, that's hard for some Christians to get around.
Right.
Because, you know, they want a Delirious, or they want a whatever, or they want a Crystal Lewis, they want a
Switchfoot.
Whatever, Switchfoot, you know, Plank Guy, whatever.
Although Switchfoot, you know, is being played on mainstream, so I'm sure they're going to get their little share of the pressure and the the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Christian music's big business now. Okay.
Well,
but, you know, I would
popular.
Also say that those people who have that type of attitude are also the same type of people who wouldn't work in a regular type of job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know,
okay.
Like maybe their vocation, what they would be doing would only be ministry-based and not going out there and cleaning floors for some secular school. I can't see that. I can only see that a person with that type of attitude, that real type of, you know, if you're in a Christian, you have to be in a Christian band, then it should also be applied then, well, if I'm a Christian, then I can only work in a Christian job.
That's a good point.
Good point. However, I will say that I do know people who actually do work in a more secular industry. I think a lot of it has to do with where they're going to church, where they were raised, how they were raised in the church.
U2's next album was War. This album really shifted their focus to being more political.
Yes.
Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Right.
And they definitely wanted to make a statement about war, about injustice, that kind of a thing. But interesting, they had that little song 40 at the end, which was what, Kim? What was 40?
40 is Psalm 40.
Psalm 40.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He lifted me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I'll sing a new song. I'll sing a new song. You know, I mean, that's probably a hopeful thought, is that if God can lift me out of a miry clay, God can maybe lift Ireland out of a miry clay. Maybe America. Maybe. Hopefully. And, you know, I think that's pretty cool that Bono has hope, but he has a realistic view of life.
Right.
Now, the next album was Under a Blood Red Sky, which in that video, which also was a recording, he pulls out the white flag, you know, which really meant a whole lot of things. Colleen, what would the white flag mean to you?
Well, typically, and that's, I think most people would agree, is it usually means surrender.
Surrender, which has spiritual connotations.
Yes.
Surrendering to God, but also surrendering to war. I give up. No more. Peace. Let's stop this. You know. So, and, you know, it's interesting. There's, you know, a lot of flags that are waved everywhere, but Bono chose a white flag to wave. Now, the next album, Unforgettable Fire. Bono visited a Hiroshima art showing, which had pictures of Hiroshima, expressions of that. And that really began to change him. And then he began to really get involved with Martin Luther King and study Martin Luther King, Pride in the Name of Love, which there were really snapshots of a couple of different leaders, and one was Jesus.
Right.
You know, in the name of love, what, you know, what more could you do in the name of love? Well, this brings us to the end of another Roni Zone Radio. I thank you, as always, for downloading it, listening to it, and hopefully responding to it. We invite you to come to our website. It's jrdonline.com. You can also find show notes for this show. There is a link on the opening page, and also where you download the show, there's a link to the show notes. I also would ask, plead, beg, that you would drop me an email at jeff.roney, R-O-N, as in Nancy, E-Y, at gmail.com. Let me know what you feel about the show, think about the show. Until next time, this is Jeff Roney signing off.
Roney Zone Radio.